The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we're back. We're powering through the summer team previews. And today we are fortunate enough for Dylan, especially, to have another Wolves fan on the podcast. It is Alex Patakis. Did I say that correctly? I should have asked you beforehand. No?
Nailed it.
I did? Oh, my God. Hell yeah. From the Whole Lot of Wolves podcast. Alex, welcome to the NAFTA podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to see the old gold and black on my screen as I do this. It definitely makes it a very comfortable scenario for me.
So I didn't give you any background, but our podcast is like 4 years old. My brother and I started it. He's a Liverpool fan. I'm a City fan. Dylan jumped on. And the reason Dylan jumped on, sorry, Dylan, we went on a trip out to the Hamptons. I kind of met him for the first time. We were talking about soccer. And he goes, yeah, I'm a Wolves fan. And quite literally, I'd never met one before. So I was like, well, we do a podcast. You need to like join it. And that's how it started, for sure.
Nice. Like,
someone has to ground these guys into what like the mid-table and relegation battle actually feels like when they like City gives up their one goal and John's like the world's falling down. I was like, you don't even understand.
Exactly. Yeah, man.
Exactly. So good place to start. I have asked everyone, how did you get into becoming a fan of your team? How did you get into becoming a Wolves fan? And then I've mentioned it too. It's like, being a fan is one thing. I'm sure, you know, being from the United States, you're fans of other teams as well. But when you actually start to try to create a content or go on a podcast or talk about it, that's another level. Like, when did that switch happen for you too?
Yeah. So I feel like my Wolves origin story is probably really similar to Dylan's. And it's that basically I just became, like, later in life, just obsessed with watching European soccer, football. And I kind of felt like I was going to watch for a really long time and then just see what sticks. And then it still kind of wasn't happening. So I talked to a lot of people and I was like, you know, I kind of want to just like find it's weird as an American to just pick a team, you know, like, because it's so strange to not to like know and grow up knowing what you're supposed to do. So what everyone told me, what a lot of my friends told me is just, that I should really watch the championship because they're like, that's an amazing league and you should just watch it and just like enjoy it. It's like super competitive. It's so fun. And obviously the stakes are ridiculously high. And that just happened to be the season that the Wolves absolutely like demolished the championship. Like they had no business having, you know, even though he was 19, Ruben Neves, like, at that age, just scoring worldly. So I was like, wow, this is a ridiculously fun team. They get promoted and then finish seventh. So, like, it kind of just, you know, I was like, well, this is obviously the train I'm going to ride from here on out. And then on top of that, you know, as silly as it sounds, I feel like our host on our podcast, like, they're a fun team to play with in FIFA for a while too, you know, because like Adama is just so skilled and he was like appealing to me as an American because he looked like an NFL running back. So it was a combination of a lot of the players that, mostly Ruben Neves just scoring ridiculous goals in the championship and then kind of them coming up and having this chip on their shoulder attitude as I'm watching the Premier League religiously and being like, okay, like I can get on board with that. And it also felt like at the time, like, that I got in just in time for like a project that was really going somewhere, you know? So, I was excited about that too. Now what's happened since then, I feel like is a little bit different. And then in terms of the content stuff, like, you know, like I used to work in radio, in sports radio for a really long time. I've always listened to things religiously. So whenever I'm into something, I'm always just consuming a ton of content. And I listen to like all the different Wolves podcasts that come over from like the people that are actually there, like the real deal stuff in the UK. And I also stumbled upon a whole lot of Wolves. They had done two seasons at that point, or actually like maybe like a season and a half when I started really getting into listening to the podcast. And one day they just tweeted out they were looking for somebody who had audio editing experience, which I had a ton of from working in radio, who, you know, could just kind of like help contribute and just take a little bit off of their plates because, you know, everybody's got full-time job. You know, it's a labor of love. So I was like, well, I would love to do that just because I love Talking Wolves. And to be quite frank, even though there is a good supporters group in New York, the New York Wolves, like, I don't get to spend a lot of time in my week talking about, you know, sometimes it's just nice to have those conversations on your own, even though you're consuming them. So I reached out, and next thing you know, now I'm going on that. We're also going on our fourth season for the show. My second full season on board with them, which is really fun. So and they do a really good job just incorporating all the different Wolves supporters groups in the U.S., which are growing slowly, which has been really fun.
Yeah, so. I think, Dylan, I definitely want to hand it off to you a bit because you don't get to talk to many Wolves fans, I feel like, right? Like, I mean, you're just sitting here talking to me, Michael, and Nick, none of which really gave a shit about the Wolves until, you know, you told us you're a Wolves fan. We were like, all right, we're going to watch them now.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to shout out, actually, the podcast because normally, to John's point, they kind of push me aside when I try and bring up some of the Wolves talk. And I find you guys actually very comforting when I will listen to either you or there's some in the UK I'll listen to just to be like, I need to hear people talking about just the drama that unfortunately is happening right now. And when we were good, I was like, I just wanted someone else to hype up with me because they're all like, you know, yeah, whatever, we've seen it before. So it's awesome that you guys are into it. And I also agree, unfortunately, I don't know, maybe he'll come back because no one wants him at the moment, but Adama was my first kid and absolutely the man. I just wish he could cross the ball a little bit better.
Yeah, I know. If the end product were there, everyone else would be a believer. But
it's definitely, through the 4 years we've done this, it's definitely been love-hate with him. I'm right there with you. I feel like on FIFA, Adama was an automatic sign, just busting up the right side. And then again, Dylan, maybe we're the kiss of death for you. Like, that first year, when he was greased up, just running down the line,
he's still greased
impressive.
Up.
He's still greased up, but it's just not as impressive. Look, Alex, we want to talk a little bit about the Season 2. There's obviously a lot going on right at this moment for you all and for the team. And one of the things that I highlighted was, you know, what are you excited for? And then the news broke, I think, yesterday or today about Lopetegui. Is there anything that you're really excited for anymore?
I am excited to bring the structure back to my life that is, like, waking up and watching Wolves games every weekend. And maybe, you know, starting drinking a little bit too early on a lot of Saturdays. You know, I'm excited for that, like the ceremony of it all. But I am excited to see this team now, given everything that has happened. And, you know, just the way I feel like the players have kind of gotten screwed in all of this fight. And there are some players. And again, I'm cautious to, you know, in saying that I'm like super pumped about the squad we have now, because we also still don't know if there's going to be more outgoings or more incomings. But like, let's say that if it's as exactly as it is right now, I'm very excited to see Fabio Silva actually finally get a chance to be a true, you know, striker that's starting most games and coming off the bench in most games in the Premier League, because that £35 million tag is, you know, still hanging over Jeff Shee and the Wolves. I'm excited about seeing the guys who were signed in January and, you know, with Lopetegui, I know, help them survive to get a full offseason together. And overall, I don't know if Dylan would agree, you know, just following all the team's like content and everything, like aside from like everything that was going on, you know, with Julian Lopetegui and with Jeff Shee and just, you know, just like the absolute, just like complete circus that has surrounded this team. Like the squad seems kind of like vibey. I don't know how else to describe it. Like they have this core of like young guys, like some of them are Portuguese, some are Brazilian now. They all kind of like, you know, they seem really together. Like, and I'm excited to see if that can result in anything. And I think maybe I'm a little more optimistic than most. You know, I don't have crazy ambitions, but I'm also not thinking that the exit of Lopetegui is means that like they're certainly going down. So I'm excited to just see what they've assembled actually get to play without necessarily from the beginning the pressures of like we're in the midst of a relegation battle. A clean start. It's exciting.
I actually completely agree. Like, first off, I'd say I'm excited for a new manager bump going into week one against Man United. Like, that's just playing chess when the whole Premier League's playing checkers. So I'm hoping that's going to work out. But I actually agree. Like, we did our predictions for the table earlier in the week, and I talked myself into us finishing in 16th, which I think any Wolves fan would be extremely happy about if that happens this year. More for the fact that I still think we have like a new young core that needs to be able to play together.
Yes.
And it's kind of what you said. Like, I make jokes about Fabio, but like he played very well on loan last year. And everything, at least I've been seeing in highlights and reading about preseason, like him playing up top and not having Acuna as the actual nine and feeding in, like having them work 1-2 together, to me seems like the route that we need to go to hopefully get some type of actual like balls in the net. And then I think João Gomes is actually going to be fantastic, in my opinion. Like, the times that he had last year, he actually brought something different to the field, and putting him with Nunes and Lamea, I like actually think we have a sound like midfield as well that just needs some time to mesh. So I'm also probably a little too optimistic, not saying that we're gonna be top half of the table, but like I think we can be better than three teams this year even with what's happened.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it's part of my disappointment in the way everything that unfolded with Lopetegui. Like, I just want to make it clear that I think that the Wolves ownership, yeah, the timing of this all is terrible. I think everyone comes out of it looking bad except for the players, and by no means am I absolving Jeff Shee or, you know, Fosun from anything that unfolded, because it is pretty pathetic to like pine for a guy for 6 years, get him in, and then literally have him being wanting to walk away 5 days before Manchester United because you guys just can't figure out a way to coexist. But at the same time, like, I've found myself more and more in the past 24 hours, Dylan, maybe you're the same, thinking about like the team itself, like, and being like, they're not like an absolute shit squad. Like, yeah. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the way Lopetegui would talk about them was almost kind of offensive. And I kind of understand how Wolves would be like, maybe it's not great to have this guy around who feels like, I mean, like, if you look at his history, this is a guy that walked out on the Spanish national team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he is not a loyal person at all. So like, he has a pattern of behavior of always kind of looking for the next best thing. So, you know, he wasn't ultimately, like, he wasn't willing to do what he asked of his players. And that's what really bothered me, is that in January, like, he comes in, they're fighting, they're getting points, they're keeping clean sheets at home. And he keeps going every time in the media, and he's like, I want people who want to be at Wolves and who are willing to fight. And like, he didn't want to be at Wolves, and he's not willing to fight because he got a squad. He got them to spend 40 something million on Matheus Cunha, who, like, every Atletico Madrid fan you might talk to would be like, wow, we really fleeced them. But like, that was his guy. Like, that was what he wanted. And then they bring in João Gomes, great signing. They bring in Lamine. Like, they gave him all of these guys. And that's the go-forward plan. Those are the guys that are the core of the squad this year. And all of a sudden, he's like, well, this squad, like, can't compete. Like, those are the guys you were pining to sign. And now you don't want to try to manage them. So that's my frustration. And I found myself more and more just being like, maybe it's a good thing that this ended now, because what would be way worse is them, like, going out and losing 3-0 in their first however many games, like, they have done, like, the past two seasons. And then he walks away, and then all of a sudden they're sitting with that mess, you know, like, a month into the season in the first international break, trying to find someone with no contingency plan. So, yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there, because I feel like there's so many people who are so anti-Fosun. And, like, I am, but I'm also, I think Lopetegui was kind of a dick in the way he handled all of this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. My wife studied abroad in Sevilla, so then obviously I picked a team in Spain, and it ended up being Sevilla. All our friends are Betis fans, but I just kind of watching them, not as much as City, obviously, but I still will, like you, if I'm interested in something, I want to learn more about it. I want to know. And there are so many Sevilla fans that when he left there too, there's like, I mean, go ahead, whatever. Like it didn't seem like it has ever been a mutual termination of like, all right, like we wish you the best. You wish us the best. It's always had some grind there as well. Look, I'll admit Dylan mentioned we did our predictions yesterday. Pod went out today. I think I was the only one that relegated you guys, right, Dylan?
Yeah, you're a jerk.
Yeah, you were taking names.
Yeah.
I will put my hand up. The attacking players that you have, I am interested in, and I think have some skill there that has not been tapped into yet, has not been able to be shown. I think if you wanted me to highlight where I'm like, yikes, maybe a little bit, and it's usually the strength of Wolves, is I do look at the back line and especially the defensive mid position, and I'm just like, man, in the Premier League, if you don't have someone right there in the center to guide where play is getting broken up, where play is going, that's usually a red flag. So I want to just raise it to you two Wolves fans to be like, pitch me on this so that I can get you out of, you know, 18th and up into 16th, 15th maybe. How are you squaring the defensive work for the Wolves?
Do you want to take that, Dylan, or
I have an outside of the box idea.
Okay.
Because I was actually going to ask you about this. If we keep him, I like Atanori moving into the midfield and kind of holding that down. I think that he can. It's kind of like a Trent Alexander situation. That if you, what? Why are you laughing? Did I butcher another name? I know.
We should let Alex know that part of the running joke here is Dylan sometimes just calls people by a not full name, the wrong name. It's totally fine. We've been running with it.
It's my stick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's too many. Objectively, Trent Alexander-Arnold, that's too many names.
Yeah.
True.
It's just
true.
Too much name.
Fine. TAA, true. Whatever. But the point I'm making is, like, I don't know. I think it brings a different dynamic to the team as well that kind of, I know it goes against what you're saying here, John, or looking for, but, like, I think it makes us more attacking, which could actually help out the defense instead of just sitting back and waiting the counter. And that's kind of what I would try and look for and hope that, which I'm sure we'll get into, like Gary O'Neill does something of that flavor.
So I am, yeah, in lockstep. Like, I mean, because I think one of the people who could benefit from Lopetegui leaving is Atanori, because they kind of wanted to sell him. And if you come in and you're coming in fresh and you just need bodies, you're probably not, you probably don't have the sense of urgency to move him along on loan back to France like it seemed like was going to happen. And one thing that, you know, like anybody does, you try to sell yourself on the next guy, right? So, like, the first thing I'm doing is I'm, like, Googling Gary O'Neill, who's named the manager today as we record. And actually, Danny from Baltimore Wolves, who's awesome on Twitter, and he sent a video, a TIFO video, like The Athletic does those really good TIFO videos, that was all about how Gary O'Neill kept Bournemouth up. And he moved to a 4-4-2. And what basically, like, their patterns of play were really similar to what Wolves did in the FA Cup last year, Dylan, if you remember, when they moved Atanori to, like, more of a left-sided midfielder. And I feel like that's a role that can suit him. I don't know if that fixed their defensive problems necessarily, but I do think it makes them more offensive, which sometimes the best defense is a good offense. I mean, I'm sure, John, as a City fan, you would probably agree. Yeah, you have world-class center backs, but, like, if you have, you know, if you're able to maintain possession of the ball, I think that's really good. So I feel like there's a chance you can see that 4-4-2 back, and Atanori could be that left-sided midfielder. I would also just add that I do think Mario Lemina and João Gomes, if they're going to be, like, two, like, they're both going to be sitting, if they're going to be, like, sitting kind of deep and sharing those defensive midfield duties, I think they're both very capable. But lately, I've been feeling like Gomes is somebody who kind of wants to get forward a little bit, which is weird because it goes against, like, what we knew about him when they signed him.
Yep.
You know, his nickname is, like, the pit bull. He was kind of, like, this defensive guy. But, like, he wants to, like, he's one of the only guys getting in the box, like, just, like, trying to put shots on target. So I'm here for that, too, I guess. So, I mean, I am scared defensively. Don't get me wrong, because they also don't have a ton of depth back there, and we don't know who they can sign. So
And before Dylan, I'll let you go in on the coach and whatnot. I actually remember watching some of the Wolves games and being like, you know, Kilman's, I like him. Like, he's a big body. There's definite pieces there. I think you hit it right on the head. Depth, and any decent Premier League, any team that is going to get middle of the table top half, you're going to have a center back injury. Like, every team has one at least, and most teams have two. So that's definitely a worry for me. But I like it. I'll be looking out for Ed Nori because I liked him too. I think it's interesting. Wolves, when you guys first came up, I remember the defense being tough. I think, was it the first game of the first season or the second season where it was City Wolves and it was like 1-0 you guys? And then I think...
Well, we did that twice to you guys that year. Just heads up.
Well, yeah. No, I remember you beat us twice too, the bogey team. But I think it was one of the first games up in like Laporte. It was his first game as a City player and he had a header off the corner to tie it or something like that. Mm. But the defense has always been a calling card. I was just curious to see it thinner. For sure is a good way to say it.
I also think, like, I do think there is talent on the defense. It just needs to come out. Like, I mean, John knows the story of the Hugo Bueno jersey I have on right now, but I actually think he...
Is that a Bueno shirt?
Yeah, it is. If you want the...
Oh, yes. So a really, really good friend of mine who I met in Carroll Gardens, John, just... that might mean nothing to anyone else other than you and me. Met him at the bar, born and raised in Wolverhampton. And we were just together the other day, and he's like, so I bought a new shirt, man. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, what, did you get the new home kit? And he's like, yeah, but for the first time ever, I got a name on it. And he got a Hugo Bueno jersey.
Let's go.
It's too good not to, especially because the number is 64.
Exactly. Like,
it's absolutely perfect. That's so cool. I had no idea that was that. That's what you were wearing, so.
Yeah, he's my, I mean, I have a jersey curse too, so I'm hoping this doesn't happen, but it's only really been with the Rangers, to be completely honest, but every time I get a jersey, the person gets traded, so he hasn't been transferred out yet, so I think we're in a good spot at the moment.
I think he's staying, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. So I know we touched on a little bit, but Gary O'Neill, instant reaction, how we feeling?
I mean, yeah, not great because of the way it happened, but I also feel like it's a little bit unfair to judge it that early. Because, what's funny is, like, everyone, you know, the first thing everybody does is see how Bournemouth did under him. But Bournemouth's squad was not as good as Wolves' squad. Like, I feel like, you know, he did a job. It may have been ugly, but he, to a lesser degree, he did what Lopetegui did for us. Like, it's literally the mission was just stay up. And we'll figure it out after. So, I don't know. I'm searching for positives. I mean, I think that maybe there's an element to having a young... He's 40, which I think is the youngest manager Wolves have had in a little while. Like, maybe there's an element to the makeup of the team now and kind of this attitude that I feel like has been just kind of, like, forced upon them of, like, you know, a chip on their shoulder. You know, Jeff Shee even said in his statement to supporters... when he was basically admitting they weren't going to sign anybody, like, we have to treat this like our first season back up, like our promotion season. So there's definitely an underdog mentality that I feel like is familiar to him, to Gary O'Neill. And I don't really know a lot about him stylistically, but I will say, like I was saying, like, if he goes to that kind of 4-4-2, that's a hybrid 4-4-1-1 that they played a lot at Bournemouth last year, when they started playing well, and they beat Liverpool, they beat Spurs, they draw or beat Wolves, I forgot. That suits the current squad that Wolves have now. Like, I think a lot of us have been begging for them to play a 4-4-2 with Cunha kind of playing off of a main striker that could be Fabio or could be the big Austrian, Sasha Kalajdzic.
Yeah, I can't say his name
either. Yeah, but I mean, we're going to have to learn it because he's going to be really fun. I mean, they keep forcing him down our throats. They made a documentary about him.
John, you probably didn't see that.
Missed that one.
Don't blame you, but he just seems like such a pleasant guy. So I do feel like maybe we should give them the benefit of the doubt. They were vetting some replacements, and I get it. The job is not that attractive when you know they don't have a budget and it's 5 days before they have to go to Old Trafford. But... You know, I, I, you know, I don't know how you feel, Dylan, but Matt Hobbs is someone who I feel like has earned our trust a little bit.
Yeah.
And I feel like he had a heavy say in this. So that makes me feel good. It's like Jeff Shee, okay, we don't trust him, but Jeff Shee was kind of working on the whole, like, let's tarnish Lopetegui's name thing while Matt Hobbs was finding the successor. So maybe we should at least have a small bit of optimism going into the season, knowing that, you know, our goal is to stay up, and that's basically it until we can spend next summer. And O'Neill has done that successfully once with a lesser squad.
I agree with that.
I think it's, I was just going to say, I think it's interesting. I did a pod with a Bournemouth podcast today too, and nothing but glowing positive things about to say about Gary.
Really?
Like, loved him. Yeah. But I think
did they want
excited.
Him fired as well though? Like, were they on board with like just sacking him after he's like, oh, we survived and then now you can just get out of here.
So, and this might be like some galaxy brain type scenario that this guy was trying to explain to me. Craig's great guy. Like, I can't wait to talk to him again, actually. But he said that you could tell the players they were signing were not meant for him. And he said that when Iriola became available, like, it just fit to who they had been signing, and then the signings that they made this year, obviously under him too, that it was just too good to pass up. And that's the viewpoint now, for sure. But this guy, and I'm sure there are some Bournemouth fans that were like, get rid of him, like, right now. But he said that he was a great manager, and he's excited to watch what he can do at Wolves. So
that's encouraging, because I have
positive spin for you guys.
Yeah, I have to admit, I have not talked to many Bournemouth fans. I don't think I've ever met a Bournemouth fan. So,
I told Dylan beforehand. I've done a few of these now, and it's like the Hard Knocks effect. Like, every time I get out of one of these podcasts, I'm like, oh, these guys might go top half of the table.
Yeah.
Like, after I talk to everyone, I'm like, this is incredible. This is incredible. You touched on it a little bit. I want to get your thoughts on, like, you mentioned a lot of names, but if I had, you know, X amount of stock, and you're like, yo, watch this person, watch this player, this one that you feel really, really good about that can emerge, or that is under the radar that we might not even know about, me being a City fan.
Right.
What do you think that is?
That's a really good question. I mean, I feel like people to a degree kind of know who Fabio Silva is, only for the price tag.
Yep.
I don't want to say him because I still really don't know if he's going to be there, because I also feel like Lopetegui being there was what was attracting him, because he came out earlier in the summer and his agent was very clear that he didn't want to be there. I'm going to say Sasha Kalajic, and I know that's insane. Like, and it's like, it's a major, major caveat of him being able to stay healthy because he's now off of two ACLs. But there's an element of unknown to him that I think is just, we have no choice but to be like, well, you know, we don't know that he's bad, so he could be really good. And he's also just the closest thing Wolves have had other than Raul Jimenez before David Luiz cracked his skull, like, to a pure goal scorer. And like, he was a bench guy at Stuttgart and was like still their leading scorer. You know, he's just like, he can do a job, and he had a decent preseason. So just from the standpoint that I feel like, because he only played 45 minutes worth of game time last year for Wolves, that probably nobody knows that they, like, he was even a kind of a major signing for them. I think they spent like, you know, like 20 million on him, and he's played 45 minutes. He would be my guy. I would say maybe by midseason, if he's healthy, could be like start of like our true starting nine. And I hope that's the case, because they really need someone who can, like, you know, just get shots off, you know, like they have a lot of like guys who are creative and can do a lot of these things, but like ultimately they just don't hit the target. Never really score from set pieces, and I feel like he can do both. He's also 6'7", so that helps.
I've been daydreaming while you've been talking about this of Pedro Neto coming down the left side and just bopping it over and actually watching a header go in.
Right? I mean, yeah, like
that's all I was picturing while you're describing this.
And you know what's so ironic about it is, like, the player who would be perfect to play with him is Adama Traore.
Yep.
Like, exactly. It's really a shame that their Wolves careers are probably never going to intersect, although he is still available on a free.
I have the I'm coming home video, like, ready to go in case.
Yeah.
Dylan, do you have a guy that you've highlighted or you've circled for us to, on a pod one week, be like, I told you this guy was going to be good?
I mean, I think it's the two I mentioned. It's either going to be João Gomes or Atnoré playing in the midfield, I think is the one to watch out for. That's my, hopefully, bold prediction.
Yeah.
What,
between the two of you, I mean, he did crack his skull, and he was very dangerous beforehand, and obviously had some moments afterwards too, but Jimenez gone, it's been, Dylan, did you tell me 4 years, 5 years? It actually feels so much longer that he's been there.
Well, technically, four? I think, no, like six, no?
Six?
Because he was with us in the championship, and then we just got rid of him now, so yeah, it's been like 6 years.
There's just, between him and Neves, and then even like Connor Cody, if I hear his name, I just automatically think, kind of, you know, Wolves. There's so many people that have left that, for me, were like the fabric of what I thought of this team. You know, how, as a fan, are you both dealing with that? How do you think the team's going to deal with that? Do you think it matters at this point? Because we have mentioned everyone on this roster is like, hey, they're unproven. Let's just see what happens. And there's a lot of talent there. Like, as fans, how do you feel? And then what do you think that impact's going to be as well?
I mean, from my... I don't know. Everyone hears me talk on here all the time, so I don't want to steal Alex's thunder. I mean, from my point of view, like, unfortunately, it was the time for everyone to go, as much as I don't want them to, but, like, it was something that at least I personally was prepared for them to leave. Now, having a summer where no one was coming in to replace them, I wasn't anticipating that, but, like, Connor Cody, we kind of had a year already away, so like we kind of saw that one coming. Like, I think Raul, as much as I'd love to have held on to him, again, we were going to lose him 2 years ago probably if the injury doesn't happen. So like at this point, again, I kind of came to grips that that was going to happen. And then as much as I'd love to have Neves, I didn't think he'd go where he went, but as long as they don't loan him out to Newcastle, I'm fine with it. So I've mentally, at least on my side, prepared myself for this.
I have no notes. Perfect answer. Yeah. I mean, I would just say that, you know, I do think, well, it sucks because it's kind of the team we fell in love with. And I think those three guys in particular, along with Adama, like, embody like the attitude of the team that we really began to, you know, be fans of. It was necessary. Like, I think that the, you know, if this project is to go forward, this like kind of like revolution of the, you know, the squad was always going to have to happen. I don't think I anticipated it happening with like needing to take such a significant step back. You know, I thought it would be, you know, something where it's like we're moving on from Connor Cody because we have a better alternative, and it kind of seemed like that. But then also, like, the 21-year-old guy who was an Irish international that we bought, Nathan Collins, like, we already sold him off after a year, which is like, so yeah. But I think it's necessary. It's tough to see them go, but it's a new chapter. And if they can survive this year, I think that's the biggest challenge, because I kind of take them at their word that they would be able to spend after that. They haven't been cheap. Like, they, you know, like, that's the thing is it's tough because they're doing nothing this summer. But look what they did in January. And if you look at, like, the net spend of teams, like, in the Premier League over the past, like, year and a half, like, Wolves are, like, on the top half of that. And you would never know it. Like, I want them to spend smarter, but, like, they are spending.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the Everton effect, unfortunately. My best friend's an Everton fan, so I've had to deal with that my whole life, too.
Oh, man.
That's a very, very good point. Before I get your prediction and get your pitch to a new band becoming a Wolves fan here in a minute, you mentioned a name that, Dylan, you may be familiar with it, but I'm taking advantage of me setting up this podcast to learn a little bit here. You mentioned a name that you said that you do trust in the organization itself. Can you tell me who this person is again and, like, what their role is and why it is that you're like, hey, I'm pointing to this guy to navigate us through this storm?
Yeah, so I mentioned Matt Hobbs. So Matt Hobbs is now the sporting director of Wolves, which is a previous that position was previously held by a guy called Scott Sellers. And I think most Wolves fans from the jump thought that this guy was kind of a joke. And you have to kind of take everything about the way Wolves is, like, squad that we just talked about being finally turned over, being assembled, with a grain of salt, because it was also a lot of that was done by super agent George Mendez. So, like, the sporting director role before Matt Hobbs was held by a guy who didn't really, like, have a ton of influence and, quite frankly, was probably not qualified for the job. And the first thing that happened, as, you know, last year's team was kind of moving forward, is that Hobbs became the sporting director and Lopetegui came in, and they immediately were on the same page, which I think is big for a respected name like Lopetegui to come in. So he's a sporting director. He is identifying talent. Obviously the manager has a big influence on that, but ultimately, you know, from what we can see in the post Scott Sellers era, which again is like only the past calendar year or so, has identified good. So he, for instance, he went to South America last summer. All of a sudden, João Gomes is a big target. And in January, João Gomes is signed with Wolves. You know, he's looking for kind of like value players like Mario Lemina, who came in and ultimately was like one of our best players from January onward. And we signed him for, I think, you know, probably less than 10 million pounds or something like that, when he went back to France and was a flop in the Premier League in his first stint. So he's somebody that I feel like we trust to find value in that, you know, really like budgetary range that Wolves are shopping in, which I like. And I'm hoping that, again, the manager appointment is when I mentioned him, that this is the first time in a long time that, because it's so last minute and because they don't really have an option, they just need to get someone in, that rather than Fosin, the ownership group, trying to, you know, pull in their own guy, that he was just able to hire someone that he can trust to just, like, put out a decent enough squad. And that's why I'm hopeful about this whole thing.
great answer, because you mentioned the name and I was like, man, I don't know this guy.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the structure in England, it's not the same, right? Like, in the NFL, yeah, like, everybody has a GM and that's the guy who makes the football decisions. Like, it's not always like that in the Premier League, but that's he would be the equivalent of our general manager. But he also hasn't been empowered yet, and now he kind of finally is, and it seems like he's doing things right. So
on that positive note, what is your prediction for this team this year?
We recorded our podcast earlier this week, and I think I made my prediction with the understanding that Lopetegui would be there, and I said I'm a very, very optimistic, like, 13th. Which is sad that is like a super optimistic view. I feel like I'll stick with that. I'll be happy to be wrong when they're like 16th, you know, like, or even 17th. Because I think O'Neill can do a job if he lasts the season. And I still think that it's easy to get caught up when you're a fan, like Dylan and I are, in like how poor your team's summer has been. But if you look around, like, some other teams have had pretty disappointing summers. And the relegation odds for, you know, a number of teams were worse than us, including Fulham, which I was very confused about. I don't know if you guys have had a Fulham.
I almost had Fulham getting relegated when I did mine. So, like, I kind of see it.
I thought it was weird. Like, I kind of feel like they're a team that's going to regress. I can't look around, even with everything that's happened, and confidently say that there are not three teams that could do worse than us. So, yeah, I don't know. Lopetegui gone now. I got to adjust a little. I'll say like 14th, honestly. Right. And Wolves are at their best when they are that scrappy underdog team. Like, that's just like kind of the way they've been in the Premier League, and that they're definitely going to be that this year. And I will happily watch them grind out 1-1 draws or, you know, a 1-0 win every now and then, if that's what we have to do. So, yeah.
For sure. I think this season is unique in the sense that, you know, all three promoted teams stayed up last year. That hardly ever happens. There was the stat. I don't remember what it was, how long ago that happened. I am, and Dylan will tell you that I made this very clear last night, Luton Town and Sheffield United. Luton's a great story. I want all the best for them. But I think that there have not been two teams this poor getting into the Premier League in a long time. And then on top of that, I think that we've mentioned Everton. Forest is always a question mark. They're going to sign 35 more people, obviously. You know, Burnley is the darling getting promoted. But at the same time, you never know what's really going to happen. And then we mentioned Bournemouth and then Fulham as well. And then West Ham, like, the season last year that they had was poor, and then they won the conference, and now they have to go to the Europa League. Like, I think that there is so much in flux from, like, honestly 12 down that you guys could end up 11th or 12th and above Palace even, and I wouldn't be that shocked, I guess.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I feel like it will be like last year, and that the gap between 12th and 17th is not going to be huge. So, like, you could kind of put them anywhere in that. I don't think they'll be like Southampton last year, where it's over before it even really started. So, and I agree with what you said. Like, I mean, West Ham, like, I think they might have, didn't they sign somebody like today or yesterday?
They signed,
like,
three people today, because I was shitting on them yesterday.
Yeah, because everybody was like, they literally haven't signed a single player either. And, like, what, who are we to say that they're, like, comfortable enough? Forest, you have no idea. I actually heard for a second there was rumors. Yeah, like, I mean, there's a lot of mediocrity in the Premier League, so it may be like easy to just like kind of like sit here and feel sorry for ourselves as Wolves fans, but there's not that many teams that have it that much better than, you know, it's like we're feeling sorry for ourselves in comparison to Arsenal fans, but how do you think like Luton fans and, like you said, Sheffield United, like, these teams are not great. And also, I don't know about you guys, I have this like thing where I just like think of Burnley as Sean Dyche's Burnley. I don't like oh, they're back in the Premier League. I hate that we have to like go away to Burnley and just like probably, you know, not score at all, and the ball's gonna be in play for like 30 minutes. I don't know anything about Vincent Kompany's Burnley. Like, they obviously tore up the championship last year, but like, are they actually good?
I'm contractually obligated to support them secondarily, obviously, as a city. Right. Fan. So yeah. But no, I agree. Like, there's been a lot of articles I've read where he's getting a lot of plaudits, obviously beating up on one of the hardest divisions in all of European soccer is a great achievement, but people are worrying if like, there's going to be a little bit of a drop off and a learning curve for him too, as like a second time manager. I mean, he was with Anderlecht too, but, you know, it'll be interesting. I think that, like I said, 12 to 18 is where the real money is won this season, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
Alex, we're both Carroll Gardeners.
Yes.
Where do you watch games in the morning around there?
Yes. So I am a regular at a bar that called Union Grounds, which you may be familiar with.
Yep.
Great bartender, sports bar.
Bartender there went to OU, actually.
Really?
Where I went to school, yeah. On the menu.
Vincenzo or?
Didn't get a name. I was drinking the
I think it was. He's from Ohio. The Chance. Yeah.
So so if you're in there and you ever see the shot that's called the Hot Nut, that's an OU thing.
No way.
Yeah.
I have definitely seen that. Oh, my God. See, this is insane shot. That we stumbled into this. So they are now, for this season, and I'm kind of doing this to kind of recruit you. They are opening at 10 every Saturday this season. They tried it out for the run-in last year, so I was watching literally Wolves Survival. I watched all of it there. And now this year they decided to make it permanent because there's not a lot of other Carroll Gardens-y bars that I feel like are true Premier League bars, so I think they might be that. What about, do you have a spot? Because I don't want to...
I'll say, when am I joining?
Go ahead, Dylan.
I'll just ask. I'm saying, when am I joining if we're going to Brooklyn? Because I think I owe you a trip, John. Like, I think we're going here.
Yes. So I also would be remiss not to say that in the city, I go to a lot of New York Wolves meetups, which are at a place called McHale's. So, Dylan, I don't know if you've been, but you should go. They get a really nice crowd. It's a lot of transplants from the UK who live here now, and then a lot of just like other random fans. So that's it's in Midtown, on 51st Street, McHale's. But if it's a local, Unigrounds, that's a great spot. What about you?
So that's like, you just hit it on the head. We've been there 3 years now, and I did notice like there's nothing open early enough, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
there's going to be times where you got the early kickoff and, you know, whatever. And I know that Union Grounds had not been early enough. So I would go to Floyd's because the bartender there is a Newcastle fan. She's an amazing woman. Like, she wakes up, she like yells at people. She is all in on Newcastle, and it's a good spectacle. But I live so much closer to Union Grounds that I would definitely love to go there. My question was going to be, though, I wanted to know where you went to some of these games because I want to improve that for me as well. But I ask everyone this when they jump on. You got someone in the bar with you watching these games. They don't have a team yet. What is your pitch to be a Wolves fan for them?
All right. So Dylan referenced this before. I think it's important. There's nothing wrong with being a fan of a really good team. And like, if you're smart, you probably would do that because like the power dynamics in the Premier League, they don't change very often. Like the gap is too big. But if you are someone who, you know, feels like the suffering is a little necessary, you know, who like enjoys a little bit of pain, who kind of likes despair because it makes like the good moments feel a little bit better, then Wolves are a great club for you. they really are. I would also add that I think, at least what I have come across, their fans are really, really good people, down earth people. I went to a game. They're super welcoming. They're really cool. You know, it's a club with a rich history, even though they haven't won that much. So, like, you can kind of lean on that history to be like, well, like, here's why Wolves are significant. But it's also not the same as leaning on, you know, however many Premier League titles or Champions Leagues, if you're Liverpool, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a little bit of, like, a kind of rock and roll gritty element to them, you know? Robert Plant is major Wolves fan. He's like a part, I think he's like a board member or something. He's at all the games, which is kind of cool as well, you know. So I would say all of that is really nice, and that you know, they kind of just, yeah, they have this like rebellious attitude that I think is really fun. And I do think that fans, at least that I've come across, don't take themselves too seriously, which I think is really important because at the end of the day, like, this is just like the fun house, right? That's what sports is. Yeah. So people who can recognize that, I think is really refreshing.
Yeah,
for sure. You also mentioned deep history. They actually have a really rich U.S. history that I learned about last year. Like, having a team, I believe in L.A., correct?
Yes. At one point-ish? Yeah. Yeah. That was like in the, was it six? They just released another documentary.
Dylan, that was on my queue. I did watch that. I think it was made by Wolves about the team that they had in the U.S., and I did watch that. So
I would actually say, and maybe Dylan would agree, I also think that even compared to other Premier League teams, their social media team and their content that they create themselves is so good. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you're bored, like, and you're not watching a game and you're like, man, I would really love to just kind of watch some Premier League content about my team. You can go on their YouTube page and there's like not useless stuff on there, like stuff that's actually good. So the social media team and the video, like the content creation team, is probably the best part of the club. Like, they're like, I said on our show, like, they're worthy of like a Champions League content team that just has to create content about Wolves.
I actually completely agree with that. We also have We have a music division too, in case anyone's really into that. Just to right. to throw that one out there too. I don't think I've heard anything come out of it, but I know we have it.
Yeah. Oh, and also, last thing, sorry. And this is not a shot at you, John. But look, every billionaire in the world probably has some morally conflicting stuff. But I would say that the Chinese conglomerate that owns Wolves, at least to our knowledge, has less reprehensible human rights things on their hands than some other teams. So if you want to try to convince yourself that you could feel good about this thing that you support, Wolves wouldn't be the worst one either.
Trust me, as my brother, the other person, another person on the spot, being a Liverpool fan, that is always the first thing that he brings up. I usually am able to Taekwondo mind my way around it and just tell him, like, look, man, you're also a Cleveland sports fan. Like, to him, haven't we dealt with enough? Can I just have one thing that is successful, that wins, that then, you know, you don't have to make me feel bad about how they do it and why they do it and whatnot. So that's my excuse. I don't know if it's a good one. I'm still working on it, but that's what I think in my head. Alex, thank you so much for jumping on and joining us. Can you please let our listeners know how they can follow you guys, what you're up to, what we should be looking out for this season with Whole Lotta Wolves?
Yeah, absolutely. So Whole Lotta Wolves, if you're into Wolves and you're just hearing this, I think the only still U.S.-based Wolves podcast, follow us on Twitter. WLWPod is where you can get us. You can find the podcast on anywhere that you really get podcasts, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And then also, you know, there's a Facebook group Wolves USA. We post a lot of content there, and the guys who run our podcast, Paul and Josh, are heavily involved in the Houston Wolves. And then myself, like I said, I don't run it, but the guys who do run it in New York do a great job. So they're posting there a lot too, New York Wolves. So if you're ever, you know, I love people travel all the time. New York's a place people are, they're there for work, they're there for whatever. If you're ever there for a weekend game, look up on Facebook, New York Wolves, and come find us, because the meetups are really, really fun. And like we said at the beginning, you know, there's not a lot of us, right, Dylan? So like sometimes it's nice just to kind of see some people who, you know, have to suffer through some of the same things you've been suffering through this summer. So it's nice to commiserate. So find us there.
That's it. Sure. You know, you can be friends with someone who's sat through enough 1-0 draws through a whole year. So that's the true character of a person.
Totally. Character building. But the Bueno jersey, that's like the ultimate sign.
Appreciate that.
Love it. Alex, thank you again. Hopefully, you know, Wolves maybe 12th, 11th, pushing for top half, and we can ask you to jump back on and tell us where everything went right with Gary O'Neill.
Yeah. I hope so. And you know what? Good luck to City.
You don't have to do this.
I think it's laughable people think that anyone else is going to come close. And the Premier League title is basically whoever finishes second. Because yeah, that's how it seems. So enjoy it. You deserve
Thank
it,
you.
I guess.
Appreciate it. Awesome. All right. Thank you for listening. Definitely tune in, give us 5 stars. And again, Alex, thanks so much for joining us.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.